The reading is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 to 24. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command: to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray for Dave. I think the last time he spoke was at the carol service, wasn't it, Dave?
I think it was. Yeah.
And that was a great time, so our hearts are expectant. Father God, we thank you for your servant, Dave. We pray your blessing on him, and we pray that you will speak to us through him this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Shall I move this way?
Great.
Good morning, everybody. It feels like it's already been a powerful service. I don't really know that you need me, really, but I'm just going to unpack a little bit of that Bible passage, which is quite a lot in it, really, which is quite challenging about loving other people. So that's sort of what I'm going to think a little bit about this morning. Before then, though, I'll just show you if hopefully my technology is going to work. Oh, I love it. That was taken just a couple of years ago. That's me. That's me and my mum. My mum actually died back in 2010, but as it was Mother's Day, I thought that's not a bad place to start. Just think about my mum. That's actually at Lee Abbey. And those haircuts were trendy once, honestly. One of my mum's great heroes was Mother Teresa, who is another mother, but obviously in a very different way. Never had children, never married, I don't think, before she was a nun, but inspires a lot of people continually because of the way she lived a certain kind of life. She was very sacrificial. She lived out the practical love that we just heard a bit about in that reading. But also, she struggled with depression a lot, big time, and had a lot of questions about what she was doing. Was she really making a difference? Which, if you know anything about her, you go, what? Why would you question what you're doing? But a very human person who was trying to show God's love, very caring, but also full of questions, which may be our story, really. You know, that sometimes we doubt, don't we, and we're full of struggles, as well as trying to do what God calls us to do. So we'll think a little bit about that this morning. This isn't the version you've just had, but I just very quickly wanted to highlight those bits in yellow, really. And actually, before I do that, I just want to say the great thing about the Bible is it holds loads of different stuff alongside each other. It doesn't set it against each other. And that chapter 3 from 1 John, begins with this line. See how very much God our Father loves us. He calls us his children, and that's what we are. So John begins that, he didn't write it in different chapters, but we'll go with that for now. He starts that chapter by saying, you are loved. You are really precious to God. So alongside that, hold that in your mind. That's where we begin, that we are very precious and we are loved by God. And then we get some of this challenging stuff about, this is the message we've heard from the beginning, we've got to love each other. Oh, yeah, I always think of that saying about, you know, you can pick your friends, but you're stuck with your family. That's what some people say. Obviously, I wouldn't want to say that. But, you know, I also think, you know, pick your friends, but you're stuck with your church. You know, and there's that sense that we're all part of a big global church. And one of the things the Bible bashes on and on about is loving each other. What did Jesus say? Do you know what? This is how people will see you different, if you care for each other and love each other. And sometimes news stories don't highlight that, do they? They highlight the problems within the church, but we know different. And this church, you know, for us has been so accepting and welcoming and such a warm place to come into, you know, every Sunday and whenever we have contact with people from here, you know, we know that the love here is practical. And that's what John's talking about here. If we love our Christian brothers and sisters, it proves that we've passed from death to eternal life. I can say a little bit more about that. But it's a sign of the life that's working away in us, you know, that it sort of comes out in those practical ways. You know, it's not just head theology, is it? It's not just nice ideas. It's not pie in the sky. It's down here, you know. It's where the rubber hits the road. We know what real love is because Christ gave up his life for us. And so we also ought to give up our lives for our Christian brothers and sisters. And one of the things I was thinking about with this theme is that what Jesus did on the cross is probably full of stuff, but twofold, isn't it? He gives us an example, you know, that he lays down his life for us. But it's also wrapped up in there in a mysterious way is the power that helps us to do it. We're not just saying love each other because look what Jesus did. So dig deep and find it within yourself to do it. It's not that, is it? When Jesus died on the cross, he released something, the Holy Spirit, you know, that came at the day of Pentecost to help us so we can say, God, I don't like that person at all, but can you help me? Can you help me to show some love? And that's all wrapped up with, isn't it? We don't just do it because Jesus gave us a good example. He enables us and helps us to do it. And this little bit at the end, this is his commandment, kind of summing up, really, the gospel we believe. Believe in the name of his son, Jesus, and love each other, just as he commanded us. So they're just some of those thoughts. We're going to unpack them a little bit in a slightly different way now. This is a little video about Londoners, and you may have seen it on YouTube. And I wish to apologize now to any Londoners because I don't wish to highlight the question particularly to you. It's just it was made in London and it's called something like, Are Londoners Really Horrible? So, but as you watch the video, you know, that's the question that's raised. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you the first part and then I will throw the question to you. What would you do? Because it shows three instances where people need help. And you don't have to say, oh, yes, of course I'd help. Because if you're like me, I'm quite a reticent, quite a shy person. You know, some of those I think, oh, I don't know, I'm going to look an idiot or whatever. So you can be as honest as you want to be. I'll only give you a few seconds to chat, but just tell someone nearby you. Would you have the courage to help? Let's see if the video plays. Hopefully it will. Right. So you had a woman struggling to take a bag up some steps. You had someone drop their shopping because someone nudged against them. And someone with a sign on a crowded tube train saying, "Would you wake me up at Clapham Junction?" Okay? So quick chat. What are you like? Are you the sort of person that would have no problem doing that? Have a quick chat about that. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Can we just take a very quick survey, if you like, a straw poll? Could you put your hands in there if you would have hardly a second thought? You just pitch in immediately and help in those situations. Who have we got who's like that? A lot of you. Great. I need you around when I fall asleep on the tube. Are there people who are not sure? Like, sometimes I help, sometimes I'm a bit shy. That's probably me, if I'm honest. That's my category. Less. Anyone who's pretty sure that they'd just be too embarrassed? Probably too embarrassed to say. Oh, great. Well done. Is that what you're saying?
I just feel a little bit awkward about the person on the train.
Yes. You would feel awkward about doing that. Okay. Did it matter? I mean, it's just a thought off the top of my head. Does it matter if it was a man? Would it be different if it was a woman? Doesn't make any difference. Okay. Thank you very much. Well, I'll show you what happens when people do respond.
Very, very kind. Thank you so much. Oh, it's heavy. Mind yourself. Thank you so much. That's really kind.
Wake up, we're at Clapham Junction.
Wake me up before you go, go. Leave me hanging on like a yo-yo. Take me dancing tonight.
So I think you got the gist, didn't you? They all got flash mobs. And I think that the person helping, who didn't, you know, come along and help, they weren't part of it. They were general public. And everybody else was in on it. But those people, you know, it was to see what would people do, would they help? And then when they did, they got a little reward, didn't they? Wake me up before you go, and all that. So, and this goes back to that passage, doesn't it? This is what we're talking about. The Bible is very earthy. It is saying, you know, do this stuff because it matters, you know, even this little stuff. And it's interesting that the guy writes about Cain and Abel. He suddenly throws in a murder story, you know, when Cain invents homicide, basically, which hadn't been invented in the first 7 days of creation. Cain comes up with his own little invention. He chucks in homicide. He kills his brother. And John goes all the way back to that and goes, Do you know what? That wasn't good, was it? That was all about jealousy. That was all about the stuff that's destructive. Don't be like that. So I think he's doing that to say, this is really important. This isn't just light and airy-fairy. You know, this really affects people. You know, for Cain, it became about lies and jealousy and mistrust and loss of, you know, lots of things, really. And John's saying, but when you do the other stuff, it builds up. It actually adds, it's part of the work of God, part of what God cares about. So just another little question, which I'm going to give you time to mull over. Well, three, actually. Just thinking about, you know, Mother's Day in the broadest sense, the people who've affected us, the people who've gone out of their way to help us over the years, the people who've done that stuff from John's writing in John chapter 3. For this week, has there been anyone you can think of? Maybe it was a tiny thing, but someone's done something and you think, I'm so glad they did that, helped me, made a difference. Or in your whole life in the past. And linked with that, you know, wonder who are the people that inspire you to go on and do some good stuff. I think about several people, really, just to give you examples. A mate of mine, Justin, when I was going through a very difficult period in my life, he was really good and he had a great sense of humor. And that was one of his great gifts to me, really, because I was I can't think of a better phrase than saying up myself, so forgive me if that's offensive. But I was, you know, was so sort of full of myself and my own mess. And he kept making me laugh at that and laugh at myself. And he befriended me, and he didn't try and tell me the answers or what to do, but he stuck with me. You know, those kind of people have really made a difference. And the other one is a writer that I want to mention, a guy called Jamie Buckingham, who wrote a book called Run, Baby, Run, which I read when I was about 12, but it's really impacted my life because I work as a writer. And what Jamie Buckingham did with that story, it's the story of Nicky Cruz and how he was converted. Amazing story. But it's both a story of someone's life being changed by God, but it's also got violence and sex and danger and adventure. And he wrote this story which was full of gripping stuff. And along the way, he told you about God's work in this guy's life. And that's always stayed with me because, you know, the power of writing a good story, you know, not just throwing out the facts about God, but telling a good story which draws people in. So I'm very grateful for that. Yeah, another saying of Jeremy Buckingham's that I came across, which has always stayed with me, is this. He said, it's better to be kind than to be right. To be kind satisfies your God. To be right satisfies your ego. Now, we could discuss that, but there are many times, and that comes back to me when I think about wanting to make my point, because I am always right. There's no doubt about it, but I'm not always kind, you know, and that comes back to me. So why don't you just mull over that question, what other people have done for you? I thought we could just have a look at what the Romans have done for us. So we'll just have a little watch this, but have a think as well.
They've taken everything we had, and not just from us. From our fathers, and from our fathers' fathers.
And from our fathers' fathers' fathers.
Yeah.
And from our fathers' 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 fathers.
You're all right, Stan, don't labour the point. And what have they ever given us in return?
The aqueduct?
What?
The aqueduct.
Oh, yeah, they did give us that. That's true, yeah.
And the sanitation.
Oh, yeah, the sanitation, Reg. Remember what the city used to be like?
Yeah, all right, I'll grant you, the aqueduct and sanitation are two things the Romans have done.
And the roads.
Well, yeah, obviously the roads. I mean, the roads go without saying, don't they? But apart from the sanitation, the aqueduct and the roads...
Irrigation.
Medicine. Mm-hmm. Education. Oh, yeah, all right, fair enough.
And the wine.
Yeah, that's something we've really missed, Reg, if the Romans left.
Public baths.
And it's safe to walk in the streets at night now, Reg.
Yeah, they certainly know how to keep order. Let's face it, the only ones who could in a place like this.
All right, but apart from the sanitation, the medicine, education, wine, public order, irrigation, roads, a fresh water system and public health, what have the Romans ever done for us?
Brought peace.
Oh, peace! Shut up!
Okay, so hopefully you might have thought of what others have done for you. So another quick chat about that, if you can think just of one thing maybe in answer to those three questions or any of those. Mention maybe someone to someone nearby you, just a couple of seconds. Okay. Okay, sorry to cut you off there. maybe a conversation you want to continue later. A few years ago, I did a little book called Men and Boys, where I wrote to lots of my friends or emailed lots of my male friends, very sexist book. But I wanted to inspire other young guys. And I just said, what stories would you like to tell about your life and your faith? Very short ones. And one guy sent me back a great little story about how he remembered a teacher who'd really helped him when he was at school. And so he'd found him on the internet and emailed him, I think, or sent him a letter or something. And it had come at a really crucial time in that teacher's life. It had really helped him. So I just wonder now whether, you know, there may be some people you thought of. That inspired me to look up a teacher, by the way, on the internet. And I found him and I sent him an email because he'd encouraged me. So I just want to say a little prayer to say thank God for those people. But also, it may be that you want to just send a note to those people, just to let them know. It makes a difference, doesn't it? I'll just say a prayer. Lord, thank you so much for the people who've helped us, whether it was in small or big ways, whether it's continuing help that they continue to do now as we know them. And Lord, perhaps if some of us have struggled, then remind us of people who've stepped in and been there for us, Lord. And thank you for them. Thank you so much. And Lord, I'm sure there are people here who've helped others and don't realize it. And I thank you for that, for those instances when that's happened too. In Jesus' name, amen. I just wanted to close with a couple more little visuals, really. And it's really about the way that actions speak about our faith. This little verse here, if we love our Christian brothers and sisters, it proves, it shows that we've passed from death to eternal life. It's a way of expressing our faith. That may hearten some people who, if you're like me, you find it very difficult to talk one-to-one with people about your faith, because I do. I'm a private person. You know, I wouldn't even want to persuade someone to buy the same make of car as me or the same computer. You know, I find all those things difficult, really. It's odd. Give me a microphone and I can tell 100 people about it. But I've really struggled one-to-one. There was an interesting documentary, actually, called Stand Up to Shyness. Don't know if anyone saw it. But that was really interesting about Rod Gilbert, the comedian, who can stand up in front of loads of people and do comedy, but can't go into a coffee shop on his own because he's so shy, you know. And some of us are like that. But what this is saying is maybe there's something we can do, stuff we can do to express that faith, and it can make a difference. So I've got two little videos, one about a very big thing that someone does, and then on the back of that, I wanted to really balance it with a little bit from The Hobbit, which is a little great little quote about how the small things matter. So the first one is Rob Bell, and he's talking about this kind of thing, really, about how we can express the work of God, but sometimes words just don't work for other people. But when you do something, it can really speak.
You act it out in living, breathing skin and bones for those who would have a difficult time trusting that this really is true. And when you do that, people may be able to then say, I can trust that. Essentially, the New Testament writers say, offer yourself to the world as a flesh and blood example of what the reconciliation of the ages, the peacemaking that God already has done at the culmination of the ages, looks like in flesh and blood. I know this woman, she has four young kids, and several years ago, her husband told her about his girlfriend. And then soon after that, he told her about his desire to be with his girlfriend, to leave she and the four kids. And so he did. And she had no way of feeding the kids. She was about to lose her house. She was struggling with the very basic issues of abandonment. This man has left us with nothing, and he's not apparently going to be faithful in his responsibilities. And some people came around, this freshly single mom, trying to sort through how she was even going to go forward. She got a call one day from this couple who said, can we come over and just take you for a drive? And she said, sure. Okay, so they come over, they pick her up. They take this mom around the corner. She's about to lose her house, not knowing where she is going to spend the next few nights with her four kids. They take her around the corner to a house. They pull in the driveway. They hand her the keys and they say, these are the keys to the house, this house that we just bought for you. Would you like a tour?
That's an amazing story, isn't it? And I find stories like that really moving, really inspiring. I've seen that clip loads and it always moves me really. So I wanted to balance it with another little clip, which, because, I don't know, maybe someone here's got a house they can give away. Most of us haven't. But we have other things, don't we, is the thing, really. So this is a tiny moment from the first Hobbit film, The Unexpected Journey. And it was the moment when I saw the film that really leapt out at me. Just they're talking about why, which one is it? Is it Bilbo? I get confused. Why the little Hobbit has actually come on this adventure, because he's tiny, and what difference can that make? And Gandalf is saying, actually, I'm not really sure, but I know that he gives me hope that he's come on this journey. And this is a little comment about making a difference.
Saruman believes that it is only a great power that can hold evil in check. But that is not what I have found. I found it is the small things, everyday deeds of ordinary folk that keeps the darkness at bay. Simple acts of kindness and love.
Now, I love that. Not least, you know, he talks about fighting the darkness, doesn't he? This is a part of spiritual warfare. Every time you and I do something caring for someone else, we are fighting a battle. And I suppose if you're like me, part of the battle within ourselves is, oh, well, buy someone a house. Whoa, you've changed their life. Just do something little. You know, give them a smile or something like that. Phone them up, send them an email. Is that really fighting the darkness? It absolutely is. It absolutely is. We live right next door to Tesco, and I'm always struck when I walk there. So we can walk there. I can walk there, you know, every day. I always overhear conversations of negative stuff, whether it's people on the phone saying this isn't right, or that's got to be sorted out, or I don't like what they did. There's shed loads of negative stuff out there, isn't there? And that's the battle against the darkness, isn't there? To light it up, not to be cheesy and grinny all the time, but to do things that change the world. And that is really vital. That's what John is saying in his letter. Keep doing those things, because it's expressing the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead and is changing the world through you and me. So just that's the quote there. I found it is the small things of everyday deeds of ordinary folk. And to finish, come back to Mother Teresa, who's attributed with this saying, we can do no great things, only small things with great love. So I'll just say a little prayer. Lord, thank you so much for what you have done for us, that we are your children. You've called us your children. We don't always feel it. Sometimes we struggle to believe it. Sometimes we do things that don't seem to say that, but Lord, that's the promise. That's the bedrock of our lives, that we are your children because you've made us, you've died for us, you've bought us, and we are precious to you. And Lord, now help us to keep on working that out. Help us to keep on shedding the light, Lord, even on the grumpy days, even on the days when we don't feel we're very good or we're in a bad mood. Show us those little things we can do or the big things we can do to keep on expressing what you have done for this world. In Jesus' name.